do. All right. If you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 14. I'm actually going to start off reading from the New Living Translation. Acts chapter 14. And, I know this afternoon I was praying about what to minister on. And actually, this sermon actually came from a Facebook post, but that someone posted, not about this sermon. They posted about, I don't know, doesn't really matter, but I was kind of upset because they were talking about how they preach a lot on healing, but they don't preach a lot on faith. And I'm like, well, how do you preach on healing without preaching on faith? And the Lord brought this back to my remembrance, and I'm like, I'm sharing it tonight. So this is Paul and Barnabas, and they were in Lystra. And so Acts 14, chapter 14, verse number 8. Interesting part about it is I believe most Bibles, and Brother Hagin would always point this out, a lot of Bibles would say that Paul healed the crippled man at Lystra, and Brother Hagin always pointed out, see, the Bible lies to you because Paul didn't heal anybody. Jesus healed that man. Anyway, Acts 14:8 says this, while they were at Lystra, Paul and Barnabas came upon a man with crippled feet. He had been that way from birth, and so he had never walked. He was sitting and listening as Paul preached. Looking straightway at him, Paul realized he had faith to be healed. So Paul called to him in a loud voice, stand up, and the man jumped to his feet and started walking. I actually read this from the Passion Translation. I'm gonna read that to you today. It says, in Lystra, Paul and Barnabas encountered a man who from birth had never walked, for he was crippled in his feet. He listened carefully to Paul as he preached. And all of a sudden, Paul discerned that this man had faith in his heart to be healed. So he shouted, you, in the name of our Lord Jesus, stand up on your feet. The man instantly jumped to his feet and stood for the first time in his life and walked. And so, you know, a lot of times whenever we read stories like this, we'll read about, man, here's a guy that never walked and he began to walk and we'll clap about it. And then we go on our way. But you know what? There's things that we can learn about this. First of all, to put things in perspective, we have to realize that this was a man who had never walked from the day he was born. Or it wasn't like that he walked at one time and got hit by a truck and then now no longer can walk, you know, or has some kind of accident or something like that. He had never walked from a day in his life, and I'll bring that in a minute. So think about this. I don't know how old the man is or the man was, but I've preached on this many times, and I came up on the number 28. I don't know why. I'm not saying God gave him the number, but I'm just going to say, we're going to say he was 28 years of age, all right, who had never walked. I don't know if he was 28, so don't go put it on, it says, you know, Pastor Craig says that this guy was 28, or the Lord didn't tell me the guy was 28. I'm just preaching it this way, okay? It doesn't matter. The point is, he had never walked from the day he was born. And, you know, that's a long time, you know, because I'm assuming he wasn't 12. All right, you know, I'm assuming he was an adult, by the way. That's why I kind of chose 28. You know what? He could have been 35. He might have been 50. You know, 50 is the new 30, right? You know, so you never know. I don't know how old he was, but the point was he had never walked. And that's what's so miraculous. Here's a guy who had never walked that came to church, and he walked out. I mean, you know, and we're like, man, I'd like to see those things. Well, first of all, you know, in this here, that Paul had to do three things. First of all, Paul had to preach the word. Yeah. All right. And, you know, I know this sounds interesting, but there's a lot of preachers or ministers that I'm not sure that they're preaching the word. A lot of times they're preaching their opinion. A lot of times, you know, there's some churches that people come to, and it's not necessarily, you know, it might be a good talk, but it's not really the word. Now, my grandfather he always said, I'm a stickler for the word. You know, and I think it's important that we need to preach the word. In fact, sometimes I actually kind of feel inadequate preaching because I'm like, man, all I'm doing is reading the Bible to you and talking about it, and you can do this for yourself. But so many people don't. I mean, you know, the thing is that we have to preach the word. We have to know what the word is. And so, you know, if you go to Romans chapter 10, Romans 10, starting with verse 14, says this, How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, the thing about it is, do you realize if someone wasn't here to preach the word, that this man would still be sitting there if he was still alive and not unable to walk? I mean, it took Paul, he had to preach the word. Now, you know, actually, I asked one time, I mean, I've always thought in my mind, man, what did Paul say? I mean, Paul must have said something pretty spectacular for this guy to get enough faith to be able to walk. You know, and actually, I know what Paul said. It's not in here, but I know what Paul said because I know, because I have the word. See, I have other scriptures. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 1, Paul tells us this. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. He says this, "When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling. And my message, and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever, persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God." So what Paul preached is he just preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. He preached that Jesus Christ came to this place. He died upon the cross. He took the stripes on his back. And by his stripes, you were made healed. I mean, he talked about that, you know, that we are now seated together in heavenly places. He talked about that we have authority. You know, and here's the thing we also have to remember. And a lot of people, they try to think of the Bible in their own, you know, you try to think about, well, you know, you live in the 21st century. They did. Do you realize that each and every one of you have the ability to carry the Bible on your cell phone? And I'm sure each and every one of you probably have a smartphone. We might have two people in here that doesn't have a smartphone or whatever. If you happen to be a Rhema Bible Training College student, if you don't have a smartphone, it's going to be really hard to check in class and do all kinds of stuff like that. So if you didn't have one before you got here, you probably got one now. So, you know, and so what we do a lot of times is we think about things in light of what we have. But do you realize that you know, here in the book of Acts, that they didn't have, especially where he was speaking here, they didn't have the scriptures to read. All right? The only way that they were able to hear the word is somebody had to tell them. You know, and well, even if, you know, we're reading here from Corinthians, you know, we have 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. So you realize that at the church at Corinth, they probably didn't have Philippians or Colossians or all these other, you know. So we have so much better because we have the whole Bible. We have the whole Bible to read from, and we can gain, you know, things. But back then, the only way to hear was for someone to preach to them. I mean, it wasn't like Paul could get up there and say, well, turn to Philippians chapter 4. There wasn't a Philippians chapter 4. I mean, at that point in time, I don't know chronologically, you know, that Philippians chapter 4 wasn't written. So the thing about it is the only way that these people could hear the word is someone had to preach to them. The other side about it, we have a whole different thing. You realize that we can hear the word by reading the word for ourselves. We have the word. In fact, if you'll go back to my grandfather's testimony that how he walked off the deathbed, he walked off the deathbed because he read the word. And he took the word literally in Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24. He literally took the word And he believed the word, and he said it with his mouth, and he believed it in his heart, and he had what he said, and he walked off, you know, off the deathbed by literally reading the word. So my thought pattern is, what's changed in all these years? What has changed is what we believe. Do we really believe that we serve the same God that was in the Old Testament, the same God that was in the New Testament, the same God today? Do we really believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Do we really believe? You know, and you have to understand, I like using this illustration because I'm here to tell you, when Paul was preaching, Jesus wasn't with him. Jesus wasn't on the earth. You know, because a lot of times we see Jesus and, oh, well, that's Jesus Christ. No, this is Paul. Now, and you say, well, that's the Apostle Paul who wrote all these books of the Bible. Yeah, but this is also Paul, the guy who killed Christians as well. I mean, you know, do you realize you have to kind of overcome your reputation in life? You know, and that might have been what his thorn was, overcoming your reputation. When you've like done a lot of bad things, I mean, do you realize that some of the people's relatives and friends that he put to death that later on become his colleagues? I mean, that has to be tough. Talk about forgiveness and things like that. But here was Paul, and Paul came, and he says, I didn't come with any kind of excellence of speech. It was just kind of plain speaking. Now, the reason I like to hear that is because I think about when I used to do lab class at Raymond Bible Training College. I was actually did lab for the youth. In fact, Dan Taylor, I did lab when Dan was a student. And he actually, Dan got, he was blessed. Because what happened was, here's the thing. When you did lab class, there are some students that just like decide to miss because they were too afraid. So the rule was in my lab class, and I think this might have been the first day, all right, that I'm like, man, you know, back then we didn't have a lot of time. We didn't have extra time to waste or whatever. I mean, we had so many students in there, we had to make sure somebody preached, you know. And so what I told Dan or told the class, I said, hey, does anyone want to volunteer to preach? If you come and just come and preach, I won't make you turn an outline in or anything else. You know, you can just do it. And so Dan's like, I'll do it, you know, and he spoke, you know. And, you know, but we all should be ready in season, out of season. But I, whenever these young people, you know, this is their first time to stand in front of someone and preach, sometimes that they're afraid. But Paul talks about how he was afraid too. You know, but, you know, here's the thing is sometimes that we think that we have to say some kind of spectacular message or pray some kind of spectacular prayer. But Paul said, you know, I just preach a plain sermon. I just preach the word. And when I preach the word, signs begin to follow. And you know what? Here's the thing is that we're not supposed to put our faith and our wisdom in man, but we're supposed to put our faith and wisdom in God. And so, you know, so evidently when he preached the word, he preached about how good God is and you should believe God. And so sometimes I wonder if some of the preachers today, you know, aren't, I mean, it's like, well, look what God did through my ministry. Sometimes I don't even put God in the, look what our ministry's doing or whatever. No, your ministry wouldn't do anything if it wasn't for God. But see, first of all, Paul preached the word. And I think it's important to preach the word or it's important to hear the word. And it's important to hear the proper word, because there are some people that don't translate the word as well as they should, or they don't speak, you know, the whole word. But anyway, Paul, number one, he spoke the word. Number two, Paul perceived the man had faith to be healed. Now, you know, and it is interesting, and from a minister's perspective, and it's a little bit harder in a church like this because you guys are a little farther away, but, you know, a lot of times when you're speaking, all of a sudden you can see certain people like, man, the light bulb comes on. Like they got a hold of something. You know, they got a hold of something, and you can tell they got a hold of something. And so Paul was able to tell that this man got a hold of something and that he had faith. Well, and, you know, in order to have faith, Paul must have been preaching about having faith. You know, something like that. So the second thing Paul did was he perceived the man that had faith to be healed. But you realize just because the man had faith to be healed, it didn't heal him. The third thing Paul had to do, and this took faith on Paul's part, is Paul had to tell the man to rise and walk. Now you realize, I mean, once again, we already painted this thing. You know, we said he's 28. Not sure if he's 28 or not, but we're saying, we're going with 28. For 28 years, this man had never taken a step in his life. He's never stood up. He doesn't know how to walk. And Paul, because he perceived that man had faith to be healed, he says, you know, stand up. And I like the Passion Translation here because, you know, and I don't know why it's related this way, but not in other translations, but it says right here in the Passion Translation, once again, that Paul, discerning the man had faith to be healed, faith in his heart to be healed, so he shouted, "You, in the name of our Lord Jesus, stand up on your feet." He said, "In the name of Jesus, stand up." Now, I mean, you know, that takes a lot of faith because do you realize when in the middle of when you feel that God wanted you to say that, you realize in one instant the devil's also going to say, hey, Paul, what if nothing happens? What if he stands up and he falls down? You know, see, here's the thing. We, for whatever reason, our mind, we always think about the negative, the what ifs. You know, but the other side about it is, what if he doesn't fall down? The deal is it took a lot of faith. But do you realize that even though Paul told the man to stand up, that still didn't heal him? Because the man had to do three things. First of all, the man had to hear the word preached. It is interesting, once again, the Passion Translation says this. He says, "In Lystra, Paul and Barnabas encountered a man who from his birth had never walked, for he was crippled in his feet for 28 years. That doesn't say 28 years, but anyway. He listened carefully to Paul as he preached. So see, it says he listened carefully. So what does that mean? He listened intently. He was paying attention. Maybe we don't see miracles because we don't pay attention. We don't pay attention, or we don't expect them to happen. You know, and in fact, back in the 80s and the 90s, it was very common. I don't know how many times I actually heard my grandfather even say, we'd be in a morning service, and he would say, "Come back tonight with your expectors turned on." Anyone ever heard, you know, a minister say something like that? Well, then, you know, I always thought, why would you ever come with your expectors not turned on? But there are a lot of people that only came to church, and they didn't come to church expecting to hear anything, receive anything, do anything. I don't know why they even came. Do you realize some people come to church just so they can get the gold star? And I'm not saying you're getting the gold star, but hey, I did my business, God. I showed up at church. You know, there's probably some people that came to church, because, you know, their parents told them they should have come to church whenever it's open, so they're here. And that's good. I'm glad you're here. But you know what? If you don't do anything with what you hear, what does it matter? I mean, you know, you have to hear the word. And, and it is good, and I do always encourage every time you come to church that you take a service selfie, let people know you're here, and tell them they should be here also. But whether you're in church or whether you read the word, because you realize that my grandfather, he read the word, and the word, you know, got into his heart, and he had faith to be healed, and he was healed because he read the word, because he believed. So number one is this man had to hear the word. Now, first of all, if Paul didn't preach the word, he would have never heard the word. Now, there are some times that it takes place. I've heard people give testimonies where they heard a testimony of somebody else getting healed, and they were already ready to get healed when they showed up at church. It probably didn't even matter what the pastor said because they were ready, you know, for him to pray for everybody. They already had faith in their heart. This situation, this guy, I mean, he was listening intently. He was paying attention because I'm here to tell you, if you have been sitting around for 28 years not able to walk, and this guy's talking about Jesus Christ, the healer, and it's not just Jesus Christ here, because you understand that a lot of us believe in Jesus Christ, the healer, but you know what? Jesus Christ is also the miracle worker. And he's still the same today as he was then. And we read about in the Bible about miracles that he did, but the Bible also clearly says that Jesus told, he says, you know, I go to my Father and the things that I did and greater things shall you do. It actually says greater things. So that means that we should see greater miracles. You know, but I'm here to tell you, most of the time we don't expect them. Half the time we don't pay attention. And sometimes I don't even know if we care. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, we would care if someone got healed, but we just come to church because we should. Because it's the right thing to do. But, you know, every time you come to church, you should expect to receive from God. There has been times, I remember one time I was sitting in a church service, and I mean, it was interesting because the pastor took a text. Can't remember who's preaching, and you know, it wasn't at Rhema, it was somewhere else. And I happened to be sitting there. I think it was actually on the road, and I think that my grandfather had somebody else. It wasn't him. I think it was someone else ministering. And he took a text, and I went to that text, and I'm the before and after guy. What do you mean before and after? Well, I like to read a scripture in context. You know, sometimes we read a scripture, and I want to know what happened before that scripture and after that scripture. Well, come to find out, the scripture, I think it was verse number 8, and when I read verse number 9, it was exactly what I needed, something that I've been praying about. Verse number 9 wasn't his context. Verse number 9 wasn't his scripture. Nobody else probably read verse number 9 in the whole church except for me. But verse number 9 was what I needed, but if the minister wouldn't have read verse number 8, I probably would have never read verse number 9. But see, when you come to church expecting to receive, I mean, God will, you know, show you things you didn't even think you were going to get. And that wasn't even the minister's point. Verse number 9 had nothing. That's why he didn't even read it. But verse number 9 is what I needed. You know, and so we should come expecting. And so this guy listened intently. Now, obviously, you know, going back to Romans 10, we all know Romans 10:17. It says this: so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you ever heard my grandfather minister on this, he would always say, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Because he always would say the Greek word here for the word hearing denotes continuous action. We should continue to hear the word of God. And I have found out that a lot of people, whenever they hear a message that they've already heard, they turn off their expectors, they turn off their thinkers, they don't listen intently. But faith doesn't come by having heard. It comes by hearing. And I personally believe, because of my grandfather, that we should continue to always preach faith messages all the time. We should continue to read faith scriptures all the time, because there's just something about hearing the word of God and hearing the word of God and hearing the word of God. And sometimes we forget what God did in our life whenever, you know, maybe we're going through a situation and God had met our need a few years ago, but we forgot what we did and how God met our need, and now we're griping and complaining about it. But we should continue to hear the word of God. And this man, he listened intently. He listened, you know, he heard the word. And that word changed his life, but you realize that the word only changes your life if you do something about the word that you hear. You have to put into practice, or you have to do what we talk about, the Bible talks about being a doer of God's word. Because, you know, God's word, you know, some people say, well, God's word changed my life. Well, maybe, but it really didn't. God's word put into practice changed your life. And that's the thing. There's so many times that people know the word, but they don't put it into practice. Or even I know people that think, well, yeah, you know, this person, you know, they put it into practice and God met their need, but man, they've been a Christian a lot longer than me. I mean, you know, they're more super spiritual and all these kind of things, you know, but my Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. In realize that Jesus Christ is the same. And here's the thing is you need to realize that God wants to work his word in your life. But just being able to quote the word doesn't change your life. Acting upon the word does change your life. You know, there are a lot of people, and I'll just go on record. I don't know anyone, okay, but I'm sure that there were a number of Christians today that woke up this morning and said, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad, you know, and they went to work and griped at everybody. And they weren't really glad. Some of you were griping this morning because, according to my thermometer, it said 25 degrees. Now, you were griping and complaining, and I get it. I don't like cold weather either. But the point is, if you're going to say this is the day of the Lord's command, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it, then be a doer of God's word. Rejoice and be glad in the day. The fact is, if you woke up and were able to walk out of your house and able to actually get into an automobile and afford the gasoline to drive to work, that's a good day. Because there is a lot of people that don't have it as good as you do. And I know some people said, but Craig, I don't really have a lot. You know what? I probably can show you somebody else who has less. And, you may not know, but our homeless population in Tulsa is getting bigger and bigger by the day, and people are not able to afford all kinds of stuff, and especially when things are more expensive, you know. The deal is, just because you can quote the word doesn't change your life. But if you act upon it, it will. So this man, first of all, he heard Paul preach. Secondly, he had faith to be healed. Why did he have faith to be healed? Because he heard the word. And that word brought expectancy in his heart. He's like, you know what? I can do this. You know, there was something. See, what happened is the light bulb came on. But just because he had faith to be healed, he wasn't healed. When was he healed? He was healed when Paul said, to get up on your feet in the name of Jesus. He didn't receive his healing until he got up. As soon as he got up, immediately strength began to flow into his legs and he was able to walk. Now here's the thing. Has anyone ever seen the progression of a child? Child starts out, you know, then he or she starts crawling. And then they do what I call the coffee table scoot. You know, they hold on the coffee table and moms and dads are like, or they put rubber pieces around the coffee table pointer things or whatever, you know, and then they'll start taking one or two steps and they'll fall down. But you know what? They keep getting back up and pretty soon they're walking. What happened here? Well, first of all, they had to learn balance. They had to learn all these things. Do you realize that, you know, the miracle wasn't just the strength coming into his legs. The miracle was that he learned balance in an instant. I mean, the first time that you've ever got on a bicycle, and I don't know people that never rode a bicycle when they were younger, got on a bicycle and they fell down. Even happens to our president. Happened the other day. You know, I mean, you have to learn to balance a bicycle. Well, you also have to learn to balance yourself. And you don't think about it. You know, you guys don't think about, you know, balancing when you're walking or whatever. I will say, as you get older, you know, I'm 50. And, you know, when I go to the doctor, they ask one of these questions. Do you have trouble falling down? Then I always, because I'm Craig, I was like, well, you know, I thought about buying one of those life alerts. You know, I've fallen and I can't get up. And I'm like, no, I don't have trouble falling down. You know, unless I trip over something. But some people do. But I mean, this guy was able, I mean, in an instant, Paul said, in the name of Jesus, get up. And he stood up and he was able to walk. And that's so awesome. I mean, think about this. So remember, we're saying he's 28. I'm not sure if he is or not. But here's a guy who was sitting there, never walked, listened to Paul preach, got faith. He stood up, and, you know, the word changed his life because he put it into practice. Well, what if we actually put the word into practice? Whether I'm speaking the word or whether you read the word, why don't we put the word to practice? Because see, we can see healings. We can see miracles. We can see, you know, just a change in our life. But you know what? What happens a lot of times, a lot of you have read scriptures and a lot of you, you know the word. You have a capacity for that faith. But for some of you, it's time for you to stand up in the name of Jesus. You know, maybe God has been leading you or guiding you into stepping out in business, stepping out in ministry or whatever, and you're kind of just like, you know, I don't know. You realize how, think about what was going through this man's brain. You know, he had never taken a step in his life for 28 years. And Paul says, in the name of Jesus, get up. Stand up on your feet. And he did, and it changed his life because he was a doer of God's word. Well, you know what? It's going to change your life if you decide to be a doer of God's word. You decide to just to get up. There's some people here that needs to get up. You've been sitting for long enough. You know, and a lot of times we're sitting, we have all these excuses. Well, this happened and that happened. And we had COVID for 2 years. I'm not sure if it's over or not. And all these kind of, I mean, quit making excuses and just get up. Just get up. Just believe the word. I mean, if we would just believe the word, we it would be life-changing. And I tell you what, not only would it be life-changing to you, it would be life-changing to somebody else because they'll see your testimony. They'll see how you got up. You know, listen, I mean, this man went, I mean, this was impossible. Do you realize it's not humanly possible for a man who had never walked a day in his life for 28 years to stand up and begin to walk immediately. Even if his ankles and all his feet and all the bones, you know, were instantly strengthened. I mean, normally a guy would get up and fall over because his balance wasn't there. But he didn't. His life was changed. His life was changed because he heard someone speak the word. And he acted upon what he heard. There's people here sitting in here that you probably heard more messages than you know. And not only that, you probably go home and watch YouTube and you have all these things. You read all these books or whatever. And you don't act on what you know. In fact, my grandfather actually talked about spiritually fat Christians. You know, because, you know, we feed on the word and we feed on the word and we feed on the word and we feed on the word. You know, if you keep feeding yourself and don't exercise, you get fat. Well, you know what? I'll go to the gym tomorrow. I'll get up tomorrow. But I just feel in my heart, I mean, as I was praying, you know, I mean, God was saying, you know what? There's some people in this room that they need to get up and act on the word. Also, too, I mean, it just came to me, you need to quit complaining about everything going on. Just quit complaining. I get it. We all understand. I mean, you know,
well, the world's going to hell, all right? I mean, you know, a lot of bad things are happening in the world. So what? You know, I mean, you can go out and reach the lost and win the lost or whatever, but you can't win the lost if you're over there sitting down, murmuring and complaining about what you're going through. Just decide, hey, I'm going to get up. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I'm going to step out. I'm going to move out. I mean, if a guy for 28 years had never walked a day in his life can instantly walk by hearing a message. I mean, you know, like, you've been in church for 28 years and nothing's ever happened to you. And I'm not saying you. I mean, somebody here, or maybe someone watching online or whatever. I mean, you know, and here's the thing. What's the difference? Do you know whenever the man got faith and Paul perceived the man he had, and Paul says, in the name of Jesus, get up. He expected to walk. Whenever he stood up, he expected to walk. Do you expect? Do you expect to? Do you expect your life to change? Do you expect, you know, we sing about and pray about that our God's a good God and he can do all these things or whatever, but do you really believe it? Do you really believe it? And most people say yes, but if you believe it, then you would act like it. Because I say all the time, if God was to meet 75% of your needs, you'd be ecstatic about it. But my Bible says is that God wants to meet all my needs. We serve the God of the overflow, pressed down, shaken together, running over God, the God that's more than enough, the God that exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think wants to bless us. But we just want to sit there and like, oh man, this is so terrible. I wish Jesus would come back tomorrow. Or maybe even tonight. I don't want to go through all this and, you know, well, get over it. Move on. Get up. Just get up and move forward. Amen. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. And we thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here and each and every person that's watching online. And we thank you, Father, if anyone's going through any kind of situation, Father, we just thank you for helping them to be able to be a doer of God's word, to be able to stand up on their feet, to be able to move forward into what you have for them. And Father God, we just thank you for their life. And we thank you, Father, for what you're doing in their life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Well, the way we do things on Wednesday night, if you need prayer for anything, for salvation, for healing, for whatever you need prayer, we have some ladies over here, some gentlemen over here, and I shouldn't have to say this, but I have to say it because some people do the opposite. If you happen to be a lady, you go see the ladies. If you happen to be a gentleman, you go see the gentleman, all right? I always say if you don't know what you are, if you don't know if you're a man or a female, we do have ushers here in the red shirt. They will direct you to the right location, all right? Amen. If you're a first-time visitor, we are glad to have you tonight. Our connection team is in the aisle, and they'll take you back. We have a special gift we want to give you, and we want to say thank you for coming to Rhema Bible Church. And just for a few moments, so you go with them for a few moments, and they'll give you a special gift. Amen. Don't forget about, you know, praying for Mom and Dad and the Crusade team as you know they're there in Michigan. You know, great things are taking place, even in Michigan. Amen. Hey, man, that was a joke. You know, yeah, obviously, there's a lot of people from come from Michigan to come to Rhema. God is God all over America. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you guys. Take care. Have a great day. We'll see you back here on Sunday morning.